again, Archbishop.
It's great to be with you again.
As we're looking ahead to this new year, as we've started 2019, I wanted to look ahead to continued developments in some efforts that have already been underway for a while, particularly regarding pastoral planning across the Archdiocese. It's a phrase that maybe not everybody is intimately familiar with, as you are and as your collaborators are, but we know that these efforts have been underway for a while, particularly in our rural communities, but elsewhere. But what is pastoral planning? What's going on there? What are the challenges you're trying to address?
I think as we begin this new year, we see more clearly that there are a couple of efforts that are coming together in the Archdiocese. I think it's the Holy Spirit helping us see that this is the case. As you say, we have been for a number of years now looking at how we can be the best stewards of our resources in various areas of the diocese, deal with changing demographics, whether that means that population is declining in some area or in some areas we know that it's growing. I have to take into account the number of active priests that we have now and that we can reasonably expect to have in the years to come. That's sort of the raw data, you might say, or some of the raw materials of the planning process. As we look at how to have the most vibrant experience of Catholic life in communities across the Archdiocese, and an experience that we not only tend to internally, but where we also look at how, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we can share the light of the gospel with our neighbors. We want to take care of our own, of course, those who have already been responding to the call of the Lord. But we know very clearly, and Pope Francis keeps reminding us, that the only true disciples are missionary disciples. So we want to be close to the Lord, responsive to his desire to be a part of our lives. But we also need to be ready for him to send us out, which he does at the end of every Mass. And by out, he means to share the light of the gospel with our neighbors. Planning needs then to help us do that better. In addition to that, as you know, several years ago, we articulated a pastoral vision for the Archdiocese, one church encountering Jesus, equipping disciples, living mercy. We have pastoral priorities that flow from that. It's becoming more evident that that pastoral vision and the need to do the planning for resources and structures for the future, that those things necessarily go together.
Yeah. Right.
And in fact, the pastoral vision gives, I think, a great deal of hope to the planning process. In some ways, we might say that certain resources are declining. So we know that the number of active diocesan priests is going to go down, has been declining all over the country for decades now, and it has been the case here. We have a sense of where we might be in 5 years, and it's a significant decline, noticeable decline, you might say, because of the number of priests who will be retiring. Primarily, that's where the lessening of the number comes from. We say that with great gratitude for the priests who have served so generously for so many years. We also see that in some parts of the city, also in many rural communities, the population overall is declining. So there's a different situation in many of those communities than the one that existed when the parish was established, or maybe when 50 or 70 years ago it was flourishing in terms of numbers and activities. It's easy to kind of fall into then a defensive posture and say, well, how are we going to protect what we have? How are we going to keep our parish from closing?
Or right.
How are we going to maintain what we've got and not have it get any less? Well, that really isn't the attitude of the gospel, which is always outgoing. We have been celebrating through the Christmas season this great gift of our Heavenly Father, of his Son, Jesus Christ. We've been blessed in ways beyond measure. And as Jesus establishes the church, as we're blessed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need to think in terms of abundance, that really our lives are overflowing with God's gift and God's goodness, plenty for our own sake and for our own salvation, and plenty to share with our neighbors. I think our pastoral vision, which is really filled with hope and with a sense that the Spirit is really guiding us into the future with great energy and with a real understanding of the life and the mission of the church, that can inform our planning for the future in terms of how parish life will be experienced, how parishes will be staffed, and so forth.
So we are and will continue to try to arrange things to fit mission so that the structure fits this impulse, the impetus of the Spirit to say everything that we do as a church, as a parish community, as a total local church across 23 counties, however you want to frame it, has to come down to what you gave us, encountering Jesus, equipping disciples, and living mercy. So that makes sense that some changing is going to have to happen. I mean, there are a lot of examples in any metro area, ours as well, where there were certain ethnic enclaves that aren't really the same as what they were when they established, and you had the, you know, the Italian parish right next door to the Polish parish or what have you. We already know that those things have changed. It's another time like that. Is that one way to frame it?
It's the experience of life in this world that it's changing. And the world is very different from what it was when Jesus called the first disciples, very different from what it was on Pentecost. And so the church has had to, while being steadfast to the teachings of Jesus, be flexible and adapt to the conditions of every age. In order for Jesus to be known and experienced in a living and vibrant way, as he wishes to be, and through the power of the Holy Spirit in all of those circumstances. In my own imagination, I try to think about how we would act and what how we would kind of grasp the sense of mission if Jesus had just gathered us right now, and then were sending us into the 23 counties of the Archdiocese of Omaha with the mission that he gave to the first disciples, and the mission that remains at the heart of the life of the church, to stay close to him and to have life in him, but at the same time to preach the truth and the power of the resurrection to those near and far, those who are maybe somewhat acquainted with the gospel and those who might be waiting to hear it for the first time. It's not exactly our situation, of course. We have history and we have structures that we have inherited. Sure. We have many blessings that we've inherited from those who have gone before us. It's become a kind of a slogan in the church these days, but it's an important one to pay attention to, that we need to move from maintenance to mission, and that really it's not the plan of the Lord that we simply take care of what we have and make sure that we don't lose it. Rather, Jesus gives us the mission of proclaiming the gospel with our lives, with our teaching, with our resources, and to be aware of our neighbors who deserve to hear and are waiting to hear this message of hope that the gospel brings. It's hard. We have to kind of shake ourselves out of our normal routine to begin to look at things differently. But again, we do this with a great deal of hope. The Holy Spirit is with us. It's the Holy Spirit who gives power to our own proclamation of the gospel. We want to not at all be stingy or defensive or be afraid that if we try to extend ourselves in some new ways that we won't have what we need to do that.
He makes people move. Mm-hmm. If I were to summarize the history of the church in one phrase, I think that's it, is that you saw this explosion from people who had very little. I mean, the 72 were sent out with very little. They had to rely on, as you said, on him and on one another and on their particular gifts, and they had particular callings. My church history may be off, but not all of those 72 were bishops or priests necessarily. They might have.
Yeah, we don't know all their names, so we don't know exactly who they were.
But so there's a diversity of vocations that.
That's exactly it, a diversity of vocations and a diversity of gifts. So right away, we read about it in the New Testament, right away people could see that the Holy Spirit was providing different charisms, different gifts, so that the life and the various ministries of the church could begin to flourish. Mm-hmm. And they relied on one another, even though it became clear very quickly that there were some who had positions of leadership, called to be pastors. Mm-hmm. There were apostles in the church. Clearly, we know who they were. And then others who they would with whom they would share their particular ministry of shepherding communities of the faithful. But they depended every day on the collaboration and the contribution of other baptized members of the church who brought the gifts that the Holy Spirit provided and that the Lord was asking them to use for the life and the mission of the church.
It sounds like what's on offer is this revitalization of that lay vocation and of the priestly vocation too. I mean, that's always, I guess, conversion. Constant conversion is always our call. But the way many of us who've grown up in the church or have been members of parishes for a long, long time can be tempted to operate is simply by rote or by inertia, that we're part of this thing and that's great. And nothing more is asked of me than to continue to show up, and that's great. Not taking anything away from people who faithfully show up, but it sounds like in a number of places it'll become more explicit that there's a call to mission there for the laity. This is not just something for the priests to do or for you to do for us, Archbishop, but for us as lay people to embrace our mission and be faithful to it is going to take some new forms, perhaps, than what we have seen previously.
Yes, we have good priests, but we have fewer than we've had. And yet we have many more than the average diocese our
right.
size.
Yeah.
So we're not poor. It's different from what we have experienced in the past. So we look at the number of priests that we have, the number of people in the seminary. We got a good number of seminarians, but it's not. What we see coming over the next 5 or 10 years is not going to grow the number of priests. It's going to continue to shrink little by little. So we look at that and say, well, what is the Lord showing us? So we could say, well, he's turning his back on us. You know, we don't have what we need. He's asking us to live as his people, but he's not really giving us what we need. Or he's inviting us, as you were just saying, to experience more fully the variety of charisms in the church that, you know, not only make up for a shortage in some other ways, but really are part of the nature of the church for us to experience a kind of investment, you might say, internally, but then also that makes our communities more attractive and vibrant as others look at the possibility of joining us. We've already begun some great efforts through our evangelization office to help pastors develop leadership teams and to help find, identify, and help equip leaders in parishes. They might be people who are already on the parish staff, but often not. They are, however, people who have an influence mm-hmm. in the community, or they can be equipped to have a greater influence. They can grow in faith themselves. They can be formed and mentored, perhaps by the pastor. But then can more and more begin to take responsibility for the vitality of the parish. And I've seen firsthand how that's happening in places in our diocese. I've heard the testimony of those who are involved in those ways and who are on, we might say, the receiving end of the influence that they're having, and that it results in a more vibrant experience of Catholic life. And places where I've seen some of what we might call our smaller parish communities are experiencing the life of their parish in a new way. There's no reason why that can't be multiplied across the diocese. And having seen it now already in the last several years, it gives me the confidence going forward as we consider how to assign priests for the pastoral care of our parishes and how to equip the lay faithful to, as I said, not just make up for what might be lacking, but to take their rightful place.
Right.
That beautiful things are, I think, on the horizon for us, or maybe just beyond the horizon. We might not be able to see them yet, but I think we can move ahead with great hope, really with the joy that the Lord is very much with us, and we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in abundance. One of the priests was putting it this way not long ago. We look at maybe a couple of priests in a large area might be sent to take care of 3,000 Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So we think, wow, they've got 3,000 people to take care of. But the other way of looking at it is, look at all they have to work with.
Right.
Think of all that the Holy Spirit is offering to the 3,000 parishioners in that area. All that can be tapped, we might say, with the right kind of invitation and mentoring. So that not only will those 3,000 have a deeper relationship with the Lord and a more vibrant sense of their mission as his disciples, but they can begin, we might say, to infect the neighborhoods in which they live, right. The communities in which they live, so that people will look in their direction and notice that there's this new vitality and perhaps feel attracted to it themselves. It's all there. It has to, in a sense, be activated. But at the same time, I don't want to make it, you know, sound simple. It's simple in one sense because the Lord is doing the work if we'll cooperate with him. But we do have to be, we have to pray into it. We have to help each other into it. We have to always begin where we are. So it's no good to say to a parish community or to a group of parishes, well, you know, you've got to be different and you've got, 15 months in which to do right. it.
Change now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we have this sense of abundance. You know, there's so much more that the Lord would love for you to experience.
Yeah.
We think that we have people in our midst who can help us understand how to do that, how to grow in that direction. And so we're going to take it step by step. We're going to start where we are and move ahead, but always with the sense that there's more mm-hmm. For us and not that we're somehow being hemmed in or that the Holy Spirit's out of gas and communities in our archdiocese, we're just not going to have Catholic life anymore.
Right. There's also a renewed call there, a renewed call to pastors that they not simply see, as you just mentioned, their flock as something to maintain, even, mm-hmm. that their outward focus has to come into play as well, forming the people, you know, who are already in the church, but also having this emphasis on sending them out to share what they have to share. And we know that, as you mentioned, it's likely that the number of pastorates is going to go down in the next few years, but that also creates a sort of an opportunity to look at how priestly community is lived and that sort of thing. So you had mentioned that there might be situations where a pastor has priests who collaborate with him, and maybe they serve an area, but they live some form of community life together. Is that being discussed?
So we've begun this conversation with our priests, and it's very positive so far. So I can't anticipate exactly how it's all going to end, but we are beginning to have the sense that we can call forth the gifts and parishioners, especially when several parishes have to work together. When they all have the same pastor, maybe we can do that better. And maybe there's another priest or two that work with them, depending on the size, so associate pastors. A number of our priests are expressing a desire that they not be isolated in terms of their assignments. I'd like to think that there can be new ways, perhaps, to have our priests live and work together. It can be more creative and supportive environment for them, and then that will overflow into the lives of their parishioners as well. I think we're going to try some new ways of doing that and see how it goes. I think it's going to go well, but we'll find out. As I say, I've been having those conversations with the priests and in some of the areas of the diocese where we're doing planning, beginning to talk with our lay leaders about that possibility as well.
Yeah. So there's so many possibilities. So when we see something changing, it's an opportunity to pay attention again. Thank you for the encouragement, meaning that literally like giving us courage and not to see the changes as threats, because we know that what the Lord allows for his church is, even if it's mysterious, even if it's initially painful, we trust that it's for our good. We offer that pain or that petition to him. He's not going to leave us orphans. Dispose ourselves to what he wants to do. It's not easy exactly, but making that offer, particularly if we're in a parish community that's undergone a lot of dramatic changes or a decline in numbers, let's pray. Let's pray with those people, but we invite them to pray for the gifts to be courageous and how can they share the faith even when the situation's totally changed.
You're right. A prayer needs to be at the heart of all this and then really the foundation of it. It's where we need to begin together to ask the Lord to help us understand what his will is for us. He's not turning his back on us. He's God with us. He's with us through the power of the Holy Spirit and desires only good for us and for the church. So if we stay close to him, we'll be part of the good, even if we can't understand exactly what that is in the details as we're working it out. But we continue to go back to him and ask, Lord, what's your will for our parish? What's your will for our cooperation with the parish next door? What's your will for how I can use my gifts to further the mission of the church? Those prayers will be answered. Yeah. You know, he doesn't shout at us always, but it does become more clear. And as we pray together about it, pray with one another, both in our parish communities, but also in larger areas and across the archdiocese, it's a powerful request that the Lord will receive, I think, lovingly, and then he'll respond in a way that helps us move with his will for the mission of the church.
I pray to have a heart for others and a heart for the poor and the poor spiritually. Let's see what the Lord does. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Archbishop, for leading us in this way. And I know we'll have more to share as you continue those conversations with priests and pastors. And we have a meeting coming up, and there will be more in the future. So as we head into the spring, we'll see probably some more concrete changes proposed.
Yes, and a number of parishes have already experienced meetings of parish leaders. In some places, any parishioners who want to come to begin to imagine and think together about how to move ahead. The work is already going on. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's already active, and we continue to look for the best ideas and the best wisdom. That wisdom is rooted in God, of course, and the Holy Spirit reveals that to us and then equips us to take advantage of the wisdom and to move ahead with it.
You remain in our prayers and invite everybody who's listening to pray for our priests and for our laity, just that we would all increase in faithfulness.
Good. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Archbishop.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice, a podcast of the Archdiocese of Omaha. For more information, visit archomaha.org/podcast.